The Nightingale Conant Corporation is pleased to present The Luck Factor, How to Take the Chance Out of Becoming a Success, with Brian Tracy, one of America's foremost experts on human potential and personal effectiveness.
Hello, I'm Brian Tracy, and welcome to The Luck Factor. Everyone wants to be healthier, happier, more prosperous, and more satisfied in every area of life. But only a few people, by their own admissions, are really living happy, fully functioning, self-actualizing lives. The great majority of people have this uneasy feeling that they could be doing far better than they are today if only they knew how. The great majority are living well below their inborn potentials for success and happiness. And we know that the great majority of people could be far healthier, earn far more money, achieve far greater success, recognition, and esteem, and enjoy far more satisfying lives than they are today. I started off my life with very few advantages. My parents never had any money, and my father was unemployed for long stretches. I failed out of high school and worked as a laborer for many years. When I was 24, I was still drifting. I was broke, unemployed, deeply in debt, with no skills, no education, no powerful friends, and not much of a future as far as I could see. But then I began asking the question, why is it that some people are more successful than others? Why is it that some people have more money, better jobs, happier families, vibrant health, and exciting lives? They drive nicer cars, they wear nicer clothes, and live in better homes. They always seem to have money in their pockets and in their bank accounts. They go to nice restaurants, they take nice trips, and they have enjoyable, satisfying lives. Why was this? Some people told me that successful people were just lucky. Successful, happy people were those who had had the lucky breaks. Unsuccessful, unhappy people, they told me, were just victims of bad luck. Did this mean that people who started off from limited backgrounds, worked hard, studied hard, and pulled themselves up into positions of prominence by their own application and effort were lucky? Did this mean that people who had come from all over the world with no friends, no language skills, no money, and no opportunities, and who had then become successful, were just lucky? Did this mean that people who had started off with nothing, who over the course of their working lifetimes became financially independent, self-made millionaires or even billionaires, were just lucky? Quite honestly, it didn't make sense to me. According to the IRS, there are more than 1.8 million millionaires in the United States, most of them self-made. More than 100,000 people become millionaires in the United States each year at a rate of approximately 1 every 5 minutes. Are all these people just lucky? What I learned and what I'm about to share with you is the result of more than 25 years of research and study into the thoughts, feelings, actions, behaviors, and decisions of successful people. And the bottom line of all this research is my discovery that luck is predictable. Luck is not a series of random, haphazard occurrences that one person gets a lot of and the other person gets none. In fact, I have found that you can have all the luck you want if you do the things that other so-called lucky people do. In about 425 BC, the Greek philosopher Socrates propounded what has come to be the foundation law of Western philosophy and Western thought. At a time when everyone believed in the gods on Mount Olympus and the causeless, chaotic influences of flowers, rocks, trees, and the elements, Socrates stated simply that we live in a world of law, governed by a system of order, whether we understand the principles behind it or not. In what later became known as the Socratic method of argument, he used his considerable rhetorical skills to force people to think through the logical consequences of their thoughts and behaviors. In his time, this idea was known as the Socratic law of causality. Today we call it the law of cause and effect. We accept it as a part of our way of looking at the world. But in Socrates' day, it was a remarkable idea and hotly debated. It was even one of the reasons that Socrates was put to death. The law of cause and effect says that everything happens for a reason. For every effect in your life, there is a cause or a series of specific, measurable, definable, identifiable causes. This law says that if there is anything you want in life, an effect that you desire, you can find someone else who's achieved the same result or effect, and by doing the same things that they have done over and over, you can eventually enjoy the same results and rewards. Success, however you define it, is not an accident. It is not a result of good luck versus bad luck. Even if you have not taken the time to clearly identify how you got from where you were to where you are today, there have been a series of specific steps that you have taken that have brought you to where you are at this minute. And the fact is, they could have brought you to no other place. You are where you are and what you are because of yourself. It has been your choices and your decisions over the months and years that have inevitably determined the condition of your life at this moment. The most wonderful part of this is that at any time you can start making different choices and different decisions, taking different steps, and you will inevitably arrive at a different place than where you are today. America is full of hundreds of thousands of people who've come from difficult backgrounds with every conceivable type of handicap and liability, but have gone on to build wonderful lives for themselves. Often, people around them ascribe their good fortunes to luck. But if you talk to these people and you trace their stories from where they began to where they are now, you will find that luck had nothing to do with their success, and it has nothing to do with yours. The law of cause and effect cuts in both directions. It also says that if there is an effect in your life, such as lack of money, problems in your relationships, an unsatisfying job or career, or any other difficulty, you can trace that effect back to the things that you have done to cause it, and by removing the causes, you can begin to remove the effects, sometimes as quickly as overnight. In its simplest terms, successful, happy, healthy, prosperous people are those who have discovered the laws that govern our lives and have designed their lives so that they are in harmony with those laws. As a result, they experience far more joy and satisfaction and accomplish far more in a few years than the average person does in a lifetime. You've heard it said in poker that the winners laugh and tell jokes while the losers say, "Shut up and deal." In the world around you, the winners are busy and actively working toward achieving their goals, while the average people are putting in as little as they can and hoping that something good will come out of it. Winners always ascribe their success to hard work and application. Mediocre people always ascribe their failures to bad luck. Perhaps the most important corollary of the law of cause and effect is this: thoughts are causes and conditions are effects. Your mind is the most powerful force in your universe. As Emerson said, a man becomes what he thinks about most of the time. You are where you are and what you are because of your habitual ways of thinking. Your thoughts are creative, and they ultimately create your reality. So if you change your thinking, you change your life. The greatest thinkers of all time, going back to the earliest recorded writings of the earliest religions, the earliest philosophers and metaphysical schools, have all emphasized the power of the human mind to shape individual destiny. Another version of the law of cause and effect is the law of action and reaction. First propounded and explained by Sir Isaac Newton, this law states that for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. Put another way, actions have consequences. And this is important. At the beginning, you can decide upon the action. You can control it. But once you have launched a particular action, the consequences are often out of your hands. Once you've done or said a particular thing, the consequences take on a power and a force of their own. This is why all successful people tend to be very thoughtful about what they say and do, and unsuccessful people tend to be thoughtless, even careless about their statements or behaviors. The key to your enjoying more of what people call luck is for you to engage in more of the actions that are more likely to bring about the consequences that you desire. At the same time, you must consciously decide to avoid those actions that will not bring about the consequences you desire, or even worse, will bring about consequences that you don't want. If you're in sales, the actions of prospecting, presenting, following up, and working continuously to cultivate leads and referrals will ultimately bring about the consequences of sales success, higher income, personal pride, and greater satisfaction from your career. The more of these actions you engage in, the more pleasurable consequences you'll enjoy. On the other hand, the fewer of these actions you engage in, the less often you'll enjoy those consequences that you want so much. Another restatement of the law of cause and effect is the law of sowing and reaping. This law says that whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. It says that whatever you put in, you get out. It says that whatever you are reaping today is a result of what you have sown in the past. The laws of cause and effect, action and reaction, sowing and reaping, are timeless truths, universal principles that have existed since the beginning of man on this earth. All success, happiness, and high achievement comes from organizing your life in conformance with these timeless principles. When you do, you'll achieve satisfaction and enjoyment at levels seldom experienced by the average person. And of course, people will start to refer to you as lucky. The law of probabilities is a critical factor in explaining luck. This law says that for every event, there is a probability of that event occurring under certain circumstances. This law simply states that events happen in your life with a logical, systematic regularity. For example, if you flip a coin, it will come down heads 50% of the time and tails 50% of the time. The probability of a head or a tail is 50%, no matter how many times you flip the coin. You may flip the same coin 5,000 times, and on every flip of the coin, the probabilities remain 50% heads, 50% tails. In order to enjoy more luck in your life, your primary job is to increase the probabilities of success in every area that's important to you. Throughout this program, I'll be giving you dozens of ways that you can affect and influence the probabilities of achieving the results that you desire in virtually anything that you do. Here's an example. Imagine a person who has had too much to drink and who can barely stand up in a dimly lit room with a dartboard on the wall 30 or 40 feet away. This person has an endless supply of darts to throw at the dartboard. This individual begins throwing the darts in a darkened room a long distance away, and with no knowledge or experience of dart throwing, not particularly clear-eyed or alert. Here's the question. What are the odds that this person will hit the dartboard? Your answer has to be that the odds are not particularly good. But you will also have to admit that in all probability, if he throws enough darts in the direction of the board that he can barely see, sooner or later, he will eventually hit the dartboard. And now here's the key question. What is the likelihood that this individual will hit a bullseye? And your answer has to be that if this person throws enough darts, if he stands there long enough and learns to adjust his aim over time, and he keeps on throwing darts endlessly, he will eventually hit a bullseye. This is one of the key lessons of life. No matter who you are or what situation you're starting from or what situation you find yourself in, if you try enough times and learn from every try and continue to persist over and over, aiming at a goal or a target that's important to you, you must and will eventually hit a bullseye. And it's not a matter of luck. It's simply a matter of probabilities. Now, imagine that you took this same person, cold sober, and gave him an advanced course in dart throwing by a professional dart player. You then put this person 12 to 15 feet from the dartboard in a well-lit room. You gave this person a large supply of beautifully crafted, highly accurate darts, and this person thoughtfully and deliberately threw each dart, carefully adjusting his aim dart by dart as he threw toward the bullseye. What would happen? The answer is that by greatly increasing all of the controllable factors, knowledge, skill, lighting conditions, the level of alertness of the dart thrower, the clarity of the target, and the distance to the dartboard, you would dramatically increase the probabilities that this individual would hit a bullseye far sooner than the first person in the darkened room throwing from a distance. By examining every part of the process of achieving the goals that are most important to you, and by taking each one of them into consideration and improving them as much as possible, you can dramatically increase the probabilities of achieving the success that you desire, whatever it may be. If you want to be successful in any field, and you're absolutely clear in writing what success means to you, you are much more likely to attain it. If you then study thoroughly and apply yourself to develop the knowledge and skill necessary to excel in that field, you will increase your probabilities of success. If you associate with the right people, manage yourself and your time extremely well, move quickly when opportunity presents itself, persevere in the face of obstacles, and you are willing to take intelligent risks to accelerate your progress towards your goal, you will put yourself on the side of the angels. You will improve all of the possible probabilities in your favor. You will achieve the same level of success in 1 or 2 years that other people may not achieve in 10 or 20 years of less focused, less directed behavior. And it's not a matter of luck. The law of averages is another luck factor. It says that, although you cannot predict which one of a series of events will be successful, by the law of averages you know that by doing a certain thing a certain number of times, you will achieve your goal. For example, a woman arrives at an important event in a beautiful dress. It fits perfectly. The colors are perfectly matched to her skin tones and her hair. It flatters her in every way. She looks terrific. A friend asks her, "Where did you get that lovely dress?" She says that, "I wanted to look my very best for this function, so I went out and I shopped until I finally found the ideal dress." Her friend says, "Well, you sure were lucky to have found such an ideal dress for this event." Now, the fact of the matter is that this woman sat down and thought clearly about the ideal dress for her for this upcoming party. She thought through her experience with other clothes, colors, and fabrics. She gathered information by reading fashion magazines and looking in the newspapers at the fashion ads. She phoned around to several stores to find out what they had in stock and in what sizes. She eventually began a personal search and visited store after store, trying on various dresses and comparing them with her goal and her experiences. Eventually, well along in the process, she found a particular boutique in a distant shopping center that had exactly the right dress in exactly the right color and size with exactly the right cut for her. Luck had nothing to do with this selection. What she did was to be perfectly clear about what she wanted, do her research thoroughly, use the telephone to save traveling time, and then visit numerous places before she finally found exactly what she was looking for. The likelihood of her finding the ideal dress in any one store might have been low, but the law of averages said that if she looked in enough stores with a clear idea of what she wanted, she would eventually find exactly what she was looking for. And if luck entered into the equation at all, it played only a small role. Perhaps the most important luck factor of all is the law of attraction. This law, which was first written about 3,000 years before Christ, simply states that you are a living magnet, and you inevitably attract into your life the people, circumstances, ideas, and resources in harmony with your dominant thoughts. As you can probably see, this law of attraction is a direct extension of the law of cause and effect. In my experience, the law of attraction explains virtually every circumstance of your life. People who think and talk continually about what they want seem to attract more and more of the things they want into their lives. People who condemn and complain, or who are envious, angry, and resentful, continually seem to attract negative and unhappy experiences into their lives. The law of attraction is neutral, as are all of these other laws. They don't play favorites. They can work for you or against you, either positively or negatively, depending on you. In fact, the most important life lesson you will ever learn is perhaps the discovery that your main job is to think and talk only about the things you want and to discipline yourself to refuse to think and talk about the things that you don't want. This sounds simple, but it's often the most challenging and difficult thing you ever attempt to do. We'll revisit this principle often throughout this program. The law of belief is another luck factor that you can turn to your own advantage. It can work for you or against you. It's up to you and to how you apply it. The law of belief states that whatever you believe with conviction becomes your reality. William James of Harvard wrote that belief creates the actual fact. In the New Testament it says, "According to your faith, it is done unto you." In the Old Testament it reads, "As a man thinketh or believeth in his heart, so is he." Throughout all of history, people have recognized that our beliefs play a major role in the way we see the world and the way we think and behave. If you absolutely believe that you're destined to be a great success in life, you will think and behave accordingly, and it will come true for you. If you absolutely believe that you're a lucky person and that good things are continually happening to you, your belief will become the actual fact of your life. Your beliefs do become your realities. The law of mind, which is a corollary of the law of belief, says that thoughts objectify themselves. Your thoughts eventually materialize in the world around you. In the New Testament, Jesus says, "By their fruits ye shall know them." You can tell what a person thinks about most of the time by looking at his life. A happy, healthy, prosperous person with good friends and family is invariably a person who thinks about them in positive terms most of the time and absolutely believes that they are right and good for him or her. The thing about opportunities is that there are more of them today than ever before, but they are different from the opportunities of the past. There are more opportunities for more people to achieve more of their goals, including health, happiness, and financial independence today than have ever existed in all of human history. One of the greatest luck factors of all, which few people realize or appreciate, is the factor of being born and being alive today in our world as it exists at this moment. Never in human history have there been more opportunities for more people to enjoy health and prosperity than there are today. Throughout all of human history, men and women have dreamed of the golden age that we are just now entering into. Of course, there will always be social, political, and economic problems, but these are inevitable and are things that we can do something about. The good news is that for you, the possibilities are unlimited. Coming back to the law of belief, the greatest limits on each person are what are called self-limiting beliefs. These are the beliefs that act as the brakes on your potential. These are beliefs that you have, usually not based on fact at all, which nonetheless cause you to sell yourself short. Some of the most popular self-limiting beliefs that people have are, "I'm too old," or "I'm too young," "I don't have enough education," or some people say, "I have too much education," "I don't have enough experience," or "I have too much experience." People think that they are not smart enough, creative enough, or talented enough to get the things they want. Here's an important point. You cannot intensely desire something without having simultaneously the ability to attain it. The existence of the desire itself is usually proof that you have within you the ability to fulfill the desire. Your job is simply to find out how. Your job is to identify the things that you can do to increase the probabilities and improve the averages that you will achieve your goal as you desire it and on schedule. Another luck factor is the law of expectations. This law says that whatever you expect, with confidence, becomes your own self-fulfilling prophecy. To paraphrase this law, it says that you get not what you want in life, but what you expect. In 50 years of research, the most powerful and predictable personal motivational factor has been an attitude of positive expectations. This is where you calmly, confidently expect good things to happen to you. A great way to activate this law in your life is to start off every morning by saying, "I believe something wonderful is going to happen to me today." Repeat this affirmation several times until your entire mind is charged up with confident expectancy. "I believe something wonderful is going to happen to me today." And at the end of the day, do a brief recap and look over the events of the past few hours. You'll be amazed to notice the great number of wonderful things, large and small, that actually did happen to you when your mind was supercharged with this power of confident expectation. Successful people are characterized by this attitude of self-expectancy. They expect to succeed more often than they fail. They expect to win more often than they lose. They expect to gain something from every experience. They look for the good in every situation. They see the glass as half full rather than as half empty. Even when things go wrong for them, they look into their setback or reversal for the lessons they can learn and the advantages they can gain. Napoleon Hill, in his study of 502 of the richest men in America, concluded that one characteristic they all had in common was this attitude of positive expectancy. They made a habit of looking into every obstacle or setback for an equal or greater advantage or benefit, and they always found it. you must make a habit of doing the same. Imagine, if you start a career or business and you confidently expect to succeed, you confidently expect that people will buy from you or patronize you, you confidently expect that your bank or others will provide the funds that you require, you confidently believe that you will attract the very best people to help you to realize your business dreams. Your attitude throughout the day goes before you like a shining light, affecting everybody that you come in contact with. Your beliefs about yourself and about your world affect your expectations. Your expectations determine your attitude. Your attitude determines your behavior and the way you relate to other people. And the way you behave and relate to other people determines how they relate and behave towards you. The more confident and positive you are, the more you believe yourself destined for great success, the more powerful is the force of attraction, and the more you will draw into your life the people and circumstances you need to move ahead at a rapid rate. And people will continually call you lucky. The law of subconscious activity, another key luck factor, says that whatever thought or goal you hold in your conscious mind will be accepted by your subconscious mind as a command or as an instruction. Your subconscious mind, the seat of the law of attraction, will then go to work to bring into your life the goals you have set for yourself. Your subconscious mind will make all your words and actions fit a pattern consistent with your self-concept or your dominant thoughts and ideas about yourself. Your subconscious mind will determine your body language and the way that you interact with other people. The commands you've given to your subconscious mind by your conscious way of thinking will determine your tone of voice, your levels of energy, your level of creativity, your energy and enthusiasm, and your level of expectations. Your subconscious mind is extraordinarily powerful, and once it's directed to work for you in achieving specific goals and objectives, it will enable you to move forward at a speed that you cannot now imagine. In your brain, there is a small finger-like organ called your reticular cortex. This reticular cortex is like a telephone switchboard. It takes in calls and passes them along to your level of conscious awareness, as well as to your unconscious mind. Your reticular cortex, or reticular activating system, works on the basis of commands that you have given it with regard to who you are, what you want, and what is most important to you. For example, if you decide that you want to buy a red sports car, you will begin to see red sports cars everywhere. Your reticular cortex is activated and makes your mind super sensitive to something that you really want. If you decide that you want to become financially successful, you will develop a selective perception for ideas, information, people, and opportunities that can help you financially in some way. You will attract into your life people who have ideas and advice for you. You will come across books and articles that answer key questions. You will begin engaging in behaviors that will set you up for the financial success you desire. And this reticular cortex is activated by the commands that you pass from your conscious mind to your subconscious mind in the form of your thoughts. The law of affirmation is another luck factor that you can use continually. It simply says that whatever goals you repeat over and over in a positive, present tense, personal way will be accepted by your subconscious mind as commands. They will then begin to be drawn into your life by the law of attraction. For example, if you continue to repeat words such as, "I earn $50,000 per year," "I earn $50,000 per year," "I earn $50,000 per year," over and over, you will drive it deeper and deeper into your subconscious mind until it is accepted by your subconscious powers and takes on a force of its own. You will find that people who are described as lucky always tend to talk in positive terms about the things that they want and the circumstances that surround them. They recognize that just as you become what you think about, you get what you talk about. So they make good and sure that what they talk about is what they want and not what they don't want. The law of correspondence is perhaps my favorite of all the great timeless principles that explain your success and failure. It is a key luck factor. It simply says that your outer world tends to be a mirror image reflection of your inner world. What is going on outside of you is a reflection or manifestation of what is going on inside of you. When you stand in front of a mirror and you see a reflection coming back at you, you know that the reflection is determined by what you are presenting to the mirror. When you look at every aspect of your life, you find that it is primarily determined by who you are inside. Your relationships with other people, for example, are largely determined by your character and your personality. Your attitude and the way people react to you is largely determined by your own beliefs and expectations about yourself and your world. Your level of wealth and financial attainment is determined by your inner level of aspiration and preparation. People are poor on the outside because they are poor on the inside. Your health on the outside is determined by the way you think about the various aspects of your health on the inside. People who think about food all the time tend to be overweight, unfit, and unhealthy. People who think about health and fitness all the time, on the other hand, tend to be thin, trim, and highly energetic. It always begins with your thinking. The summary principle of all these laws, perhaps the greatest luck factor of all, is the law of mental equivalence. This law says that your main job in life is to create within yourself the mental equivalent of what you wish to enjoy on the outside. You must build up the consciousness of success, health, happiness, prosperity, and personal achievement on the inside, thought by thought and feeling by feeling, that you wish to enjoy in the world around you. Here's the great discovery. It is not your past thoughts or your future thoughts that count. The only thing that makes a difference in your life is the way you think at this very moment. You're not bound by the mistakes of the past or the limitations that you perceive in the future. Your potential is unlimited because you are free to choose your thoughts at this moment, and what you think at this moment determines the entire future direction of your life. If you're driving down the road and you turn the wheel of your car sharply in one direction or another, that is the direction that you will go in from that moment on. The direction that you go in is not determined by how you drove yesterday or how you drive tomorrow. It is determined by the present moment. You cannot control the entire world. You cannot control all the intricate and infinite details of modern life. You cannot control all the years of the past or all the years of the future. But you can control this present moment, and that's all you need to do to achieve all the success you can possibly imagine. The power of suggestion is a luck factor as well. It says that your mind, that intricate combination of thoughts, feelings, words, pictures, images, ideas, insights, hopes, and fears, is continually changing. This change in your total mental makeup is either conscious, deliberate, and positive, or it is random, haphazard, and negative. The power of suggestion is the most powerful influence on everything you are and everything you become. As a result of the hundreds and thousands of influences bombarding your mind every day, every week, you are setting up a force field of attraction that is either bringing you the things you want or bringing you the things that you don't want. From now on, you must take conscious, systematic, purposeful control over the influences that you allow to reach your conscious mind. You must read healthy material, listen to positive audio programs, watch uplifting educational video programs, and associate with positive people. You must guard your mental integrity as a sacred thing. Just as you would only eat healthy, nutritious foods if you wanted to be superbly fit physically, you must only take in healthy, nutritious mental influences if you want to be superbly fit mentally as well. The final luck factor in this session is the law of responsibility. As I said earlier, this simply states that you are 100% responsible for yourself, for everything you are and everything you become. You are where you are and what you are because you have decided to be there. This law is the great liberator. It means that you are completely in charge of your life and of everything that happens to you. Since only you can control your thinking, and your thinking controls your destiny, by taking charge of your thoughts, you can control the whole rest of your life. Luck is predictable. Success is not an accident. Failure is not an accident either. Happiness or unhappiness are not accidents. They are predictable based on the laws that we've talked about in this session. By deciding to, you can become an extremely lucky person. You can think more of the thoughts that are consistent with what you want and do more of the things that increase the probabilities that you will enjoy the success you desire. At the same time, you can stop doing the things that are holding you back and stop accepting the ideas that are limiting your belief in your own potential. If you buy a brand new, beautifully engineered car from the dealership and take it out on the road and it runs beautifully, do you ascribe it to luck? Of course not. The fact is that whether it is a sophisticated piece of stereo machinery, a handcrafted watch, or a beautiful automobile, you know that they have been built according to specific laws of mechanics, physics, and electricity. The fact that they run beautifully is not luck. And it's the same with you. When you begin applying these luck factors to your life, you will start achieving extraordinary things. You will surge ahead of the people around you. You will enjoy greater success and achievement than you ever imagined, and it will be the result of design, not luck. Perhaps the most important of all luck factors is knowing exactly what you want in every area of your life. The number one reason for great success is clear, specific, measurable goals, written down and backed by written plans and a burning desire to accomplish them. The primary reason for failure and underachievement is fuzziness, confusion, and the inability to decide exactly what you want, what it will look like, when you will want it, how you will attain it. As Zig Ziglar says, the great majority of people are wandering generalities rather than meaningful specifics. The fact is that you can't hit a target you can't see. If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. A person with no clear goals is like a ship without a rudder, carried whichever way the tides and wind are blowing. A person with clear, specific goals, on the other hand, is like a ship with a rudder, sailing straight and true to its destination. It's amazing how fast you will change your luck by becoming intensely goal-oriented. As a friend of mine once said, success is goals, and all else is commentary. It may not be as simple as that, but that is a wonderful place to start. A book on the bestseller list today proclaims that coincidences actually do happen. This is supposed to be a great revelation or breakthrough in thinking, and many people have become excited at the thought that coincidences happen. But the fact of the matter is that in most cases, coincidences don't happen. There are instead a variety of differing probabilities for the happening of particular events or circumstances. Based on the law of averages, if you do enough different things over the course of the years, like billiard balls rolling around, one or two of them are going to bang into each other. But it is based on law, not luck or coincidence. There are two extraordinarily important principles for you to learn. They are essential luck factors and have been throughout history. They are practiced by the most successful men and women alive today. An understanding of their nature can open your eyes to potentials and possibilities that you may have never understood or been aware of in the past. The first of these luck factors is the principle of serendipity. Serendipity has best been described as the capacity for making happy discoveries along the road of life. The principle of serendipity comes from the fairy tale of the three princes of Serendip. These three princes would travel around, coming on experience after experience of misfortune and seeming disaster in the lives of others. But as a result of their visit, and their changing the minds of the unfortunate person, the disaster or tragedy was turned around to a greater success and achievement than had been believed possible before. For example, the three princes came to a farmhouse where a sad accident had taken place. The farmer's only son had been thrown from the farmer's only horse and broken his leg. The horse had run off and could not be found. As you can imagine, the farmer was quite distressed, but the three princes told him not to worry. Something good would happen. This country happened to be involved in a war at that time with a neighboring country. The very next morning, a squad of soldiers arrived at the horse to forcefully conscript all young, able-bodied men into the army. As it happened, the farmer's only son had a broken leg, so he was spared from conscription. Later that day, representatives of the government came by to seize all horses that could be used by the army. But since their only horse had run off, again the farmer was spared. Later, the army lost a great battle, and most of the horses and most of the men were killed. What appeared to be an unfortunate event, the breaking of the leg and the running off of the horse, turned out to be the saving of the farmer. And after the government representatives had left, the horse came home on his own accord. The son's leg soon mended, and the farmer was happy. In another case, the Three Princes of Serendip came across a wealthy landowner whose entire estate had been washed away by a flood. Everything he had accumulated in his lifetime was destroyed. As you can imagine, he was distraught and depressed. But the Three Princes of Serendip convinced him that something good would turn up. Not long after, as they walked across the battered, flooded land where all the topsoil had been washed away by the flood, they found a precious stone, and then another and another. It turned out that the flood had washed away layers of old topsoil, revealing countless precious stones that made the farmer wealthier than he had ever imagined. The key to the principle of serendipity is contained in the law of positive expectations. The more confidently you expect something good to come out of every situation, the more likely it is to occur. The one common denominator of the serendipity principle is the fact that it only occurs when you are absolutely confident that all will work out for the better. Then, all kinds of happy occurrences take place, many of which seem like setbacks or temporary failures, which turn out to be exactly what was needed to happen for you to achieve your goal. Here's an important philosophical principle. Your situation today is exactly what you need at this moment for your own personal growth and development. Every part of your life is exactly as it should be. Everything you're facing or dealing with contains within it possibilities that you can turn to your own advantage to achieve the kind of life that you want for yourself. You may be working for a difficult boss in an industry where the competition is fierce, the margins are low, and the potential future is limited. If you're not careful, you will allow yourself to become negative and worry about your current situation. But if you realize that, according to the principle of serendipity, it's exactly what you need at this moment, you can look into it for the benefit or advantage it might contain. You can ask yourself, if I was not doing this job, knowing what I now know about this job and its future, would I get into this field in the first place? If your answer is no, then your next question could be, if I could do anything I really wanted, what would it be? Whatever it is, you can use your current experience as a springboard to higher and better experiences, rather than just sitting there wishing and hoping that things will improve. One of the great luck factors is the law of futurity, which says that it doesn't matter where you're coming from, all that matters is where you're going. The past is dead. It serves only to give you guidance and wisdom so that you can make better decisions in the future. All that matters is where you're going from this moment forward. You can't allow yourself to cry over spilled milk. Look upon the past as a sunk cost, as an investment in your future that, unfortunately, is irretrievable. Then, turn your eyes and mind toward the future horizon of your own possibilities and begin moving in that direction. The second principle is perhaps the most important luck factor of all, and it is intertwined and connected with many of the other principles in this course. It is simply called synchronicity. It actually goes above and beyond and works on a different basis than the law of cause and effect. The law of cause and effect says that every effect in your life has certain specific causes which you can trace back and identify. The principle of synchronicity, on the other hand, says that things will happen in your life that have no direct cause-effect relationship. Synchronicity says that events that occur in your life are often linked not by causality, but by meaning. For example, you get up one morning and you begin talking with your spouse about taking a vacation to Hawaii. But you know you can't afford it and you can't get the time off anyway. Nonetheless, the idea of going to Hawaii is very exciting to you. Because it's exciting, you emotionalize the idea of a Hawaiian vacation. Any thought you emotionalize is passed from your conscious mind to your subconscious mind, the seat of the law of attraction. As a result, you begin to send out positive vibrations, which start to attract into your life people and circumstances that will make that thought a reality. You go to work that day, and in passing, you mention that you sure would like to take a trip to Hawaii with your spouse sometime. Your boss calls you in a couple of hours later and tells you that since you've been doing such a great job, and now the company is in a slow season, there will be no problem at all if you wanted to take a week or two off as your vacation. At lunchtime the same day, a friend of yours tells you about a new travel agency that puts together Hawaiian vacation packages, including hotel, airfare, and ground transportation at really great prices. In fact, your friend has a brochure that has a description of exactly the island that you wanted to visit and the hotel that would be ideal for you. And the price is less than $2,000 for both of you for an entire week in Hawaii. That night, you get home, and there's an income tax refund in the mail for an unexpected overpayment that amounts to, you guessed it, about $2,000. Notice what has happened. You had a very clear, emotionally charged thought of taking a trip to Hawaii with your spouse. That day, three events occurred, none of them having any connection with the other, but all of which came together to enable you to achieve your goal in less than one day. And this sort of thing happens all the time once you get into the zone. When you emotionalize your mind, clarify your thoughts, intensify your desires, and approach your life with an attitude of confident, positive expectation, all sorts of serendipitous and synchronous events begin to happen to you. And the only relationship that these events have to each other is the meaning that you give them by the clear thoughts that you have about the things that you really want. But of course, if your thoughts are fuzzy, confused, and contradictory, these principles can't work for you. This is the primary reason why most people are unhappy and unsuccessful. Most people have enormous powers, but they're failing to use them because they don't understand how they work. Over and over, it's been found that corporations with very clear, written, strategic plans are far more successful than corporations that are operating from the seat of their pants. Now, it takes a good deal of time, sometimes many hours and even many days, to write out a strategic plan. But a strategic plan is a blueprint for the future of the company. And the purpose of all strategic planning is to increase the return on equity, the return on investment or on capital invested in the business. By the same token, you will be far more effective and successful when you have a personal strategic plan. But instead of designing a plan to increase your return on equity, your job is to increase your return on energy. Just as a company has financial capital to invest in the marketplace, you have human capital to invest in your life. Your human capital is mental, emotional, and physical. And your job is to get the highest possible return on your investment of your personal capital in the months and years that you invest in your adult life. In every industry, there are people who are doing very much the same job, but who are earning far more or far less than others. It's quite common for me to meet two people selling the same product, out of the same office, under the same competitive conditions, to the same people at the same prices, and one of them is earning 3, 4, 5, even 10 times as much as the other. And there is virtually no difference in age, education, experience, intelligence, or anything else. Yet one person, sometimes the younger person, is earning several times as much as the other. Why is this so? You already know part of the answer. It's because the more successful person has done many, many little things to increase the likelihood and probabilities of success in his or her field. The less successful person has failed to do these things. And just as you reap what you sow, you fail to reap what you don't sow. If you don't put it in, you don't get it out. If you do not trigger the action, you don't get the reaction. Almost invariably, the highest paid people in America in every field have personal strategic plans. These people are intensely goal-oriented. They know exactly what they want. They have written plans and blueprints and outlines and ideas to achieve them. The more clear you are about what you want, and the more excited you are about achieving it, the more you will activate the laws of belief, expectations, attraction, correspondence, and mental equivalence. And the more you will enjoy serendipity and synchronicity, the more your life will become a continuous series of happy events and circumstances that move you toward your goal and move your goal toward you. The law of control is a key luck factor. It says that you feel positive about yourself to the degree to which you feel that you are in control of your own life. And you feel negative about yourself to the degree to which you feel that you are controlled by external forces or other people. There's a direct relationship between high performance and happiness on the one hand, and a sense of control in your life on the other. The more you feel that you are in charge of what is happening to you, the more you feel that you are the architect of your own destiny and the master of your own fate. The more you feel you're in charge of your life, the happier, more positive, more energetic, and more focused you will be. However, if you feel that you're controlled by your boss, your bills, your health, your relationships, your upbringing, your race, or any other factor, you will feel out of control. You will feel anxious, negative, and angry. You will lash out and blame other people for your problems. You'll resent successful people, and you'll be envious of anyone who's doing better than you are. You will, in effect, set yourself up for failure because you will attract into your life more and more of the negative things that you think about all day long. The wonderful thing about goals is that they give you a sense of control over the direction of change in your life. Goals give you the feeling that you are in the driver's seat, that you have your hands on the wheel, that your life is going where you want it to go. And the more you feel in control of every part of your life, which you do with clear, written goals, the more positive and optimistic you become. The more positive and optimistic you become, and the more clear you are about what you want and where you're going, the more you activate all of the mental laws on your behalf, and the more luck you will seem to experience. The law of purpose, another key luck factor, says that the secret of success is constancy of purpose. All really successful people are characterized by intensity of purpose. Given two people with roughly the same abilities and opportunities, the one who wants it the most, the more intense of the two, is the one who will almost always be the most successful. Your job is to decide what you really, really want in every area of your life, and then to focus intensely on it, like a laser beam, and to stay on it no matter how long it takes until you achieve it. The law of accident is the opposite of the law of control. It says that failing to plan means planning to fail. The law of accident is really a principle that most people live by, but one that you can free yourself from in an instant. People who live by the law of accident believe that life is a series of random, haphazard chances, like the throwing of dice or the turning of a roulette wheel. They believe that it's not what you know, but who you know. They believe that you can't fight City Hall. People who live by the law of accident are those who buy lottery tickets, go to casinos, invest in get-rich-quick schemes, penny stocks, and things that they don't know anything about. They're always hoping for a lucky break and never getting one. People who live by the law of accident are usually the most envious of those who are successfully living by the law of control or the principle of goal orientation. In putting together your own personal strategic plan, you start from the inside and work outward. You start from the inner core of your being, your innermost values and convictions, and then you organize every aspect of your external life so that what you are doing on the outside is congruent with your fundamental unifying principles. The law of clarity, another luck factor, says that the more clear you are about what you want, the more rapidly you will attain it. Your ability to focus single-mindedly on one thing at a time and to stay with it until it is complete is a key luck factor. It increases your likelihood of having happy, fortuitous events occur that help you to achieve your goals. You see, everyone wants to be happy, but I have found that almost every unhappy person, if you probe them deeply enough, will confess to you that they really don't have any goals. When somebody starts to complain about some part of their life, you can simply ask from now on, "What are your goals?" I've found that people with goals are far more interesting and optimistic than people without them. People without goals tend to be negative and unhappy and complain continually about a variety of things. They may say that they're unhappy about their jobs, their marriages, their health, their relationships, or something else, but when you ask them something like, "What would you really like to be or have or do?" they're flabbergasted. They really have no idea. Sometimes they're offended that you would even ask them such a question. So let us begin. What are your values? What do you believe in? What do you stand for? And equally important, what would you not stand for? Do you believe in the importance of honesty, sincerity, generosity, compassion, caring, love, forgiveness, and truth? Do you believe in the importance of integrity, personal excellence, creativity, freedom and self-expression? Do you believe in the values of friendship, self-discipline, work, self-development, or success? What are your values? Your ability to ask and answer this question for yourself is really the key to your success. It is indispensable to your finding exactly what it is you really want and exactly what it is that you are willing to work for. You don't need more than 3 to 5 basic values. This is sufficient. And once you've selected your key values, you need to organize your values by priority. Which comes first? Which comes second? Which comes third? And so on. How can you tell what your values are today? It's easy. You see, you always express your values in your actions. You tell yourself and others what you truly believe by looking at what you do under pressure. Whenever you're forced to choose to go one way or the other, you always go in the direction that is consistent with your dominant value at the time. If a person says that my family is my most important value, this means that when forced to choose, he will always pick his family. If a person believes that health is a key value, he will always act to maintain the health and well-being of both himself and the people he most cares about. But remember, it's not what you say, or wish, or hope, or intend, or plan to do, or be someday. It's only what you say and do each moment that truly indicates what your fundamental underlying values and convictions really are. Once you've determined your values, you move to your vision and your mission statement. Your vision is a written description of how you want to be perceived by others sometime in the future. Some people suggest that you write out your own obituary, what you would want to be read by a trusted friend at your graveside. A vision statement is an ideal description of the very best person you could possibly imagine becoming over the course of your lifetime. The wonderful thing about a vision statement is that once you write it, and then you read it and review it on a regular basis, it begins to activate all the mental laws, and you actually start to become the kind of person that you have imagined. You take responsibility for actually shaping your own character and your own destiny by the action of writing out a vision statement. Remember, you do become what you think about most of the time. And if you think about yourself as an absolutely excellent human being, over time, you will become very much like that person that you've decided to become. The law of desire, another key luck factor, says that the only limitation on your abilities is how badly you really want it. Your desire determines your destiny. It's the fire of desire that determines your constancy and intensity of purpose. A person with a burning desire to achieve a goal of any kind will find himself or herself automatically driven toward it. Desire is the fuel in the furnace of ambition. Desire is the power in your personality. The primary reason people don't accomplish a lot is because they're not passionate enough about what it is they want to be and have and do. They don't desire it enough. And the only way that you can have intense, burning desire for a specific goal, personal or otherwise, is for that goal to be an expression of your true values and consistent with your vision of the person you really want to become in your life. Your mission, on the other hand, is a little different from your vision. Your mission is a specific statement of what you want to accomplish with your life sometime in the future. Your mission statement describes how you want to make a difference with your life. And the only way you can really make a difference with your life is by figuring out how you're going to make a difference in the lives of other people. When Albert Einstein was asked the purpose of human life, he replied, "Why, it must be to serve others. What other purpose could there be?" Your mission statement should be something that is achievable. For example, at one time the mission statement of AT&T was to bring a telephone within the reach of every person in America. It took AT&T almost 80 years to achieve that goal. But a mission is something that is attainable. It's something that's measurable. It's not a vague set of warm generalities that make people feel good, but which cannot be applied in practice or measured. Your mission could be something like the following. I am an outstanding professional salesperson, among the top 10% in my industry. I give the very finest quantity and quality of service, reliability, and honest dealing with every customer, and as a result, I earn more than $50,000 per year in my field. This is a mission that tells the level you want to attain in your field, the kind of work that you're going to do to attain that level, and how you will measure that you've achieved your goal. Here's a wonderful exercise for you. When this session is over, take a piece of paper and begin to write out your dream list. Let your mind float freely. Imagine that you have no limitations. Imagine that you have all the time, all the money, all the resources, all the intelligence, all the education, all the experience, and all the contacts in the world. Imagine that you could do, be, or have anything in your life. Now, write down everything you would want in your life if you had no limitations whatsoever on your potential. Be sure to decide what is right before you decide what is possible. Don't fall into the loser's trap of shooting yourself in your own foot by thinking of all the reasons why it's not possible before you even begin writing. Put the word possible aside for now and just allow yourself to dream. One of the qualities of leaders in every field is that they have vision. They allow themselves to dream and see a vision of what could be rather than allowing themselves to get stuck with what is at the present moment. Once you've finished your dream list, take another sheet of paper and write today's date at the top. Then, write down at least 10 goals that you want to accomplish in the next 12 months. This is one of the most powerful exercises I've ever learned in my whole life. It changed my life when I began using it many years ago. I wasn't really sure that it would work when I began toying with it, but all it cost me was a few minutes and a piece of paper, and my whole life has been different ever since. When you make out a list of 10 goals that you want to accomplish in the next 12 months, you move yourself automatically into the top 3% of living Americans. Since only 3% of adult Americans will ever write down their goals, you have joined the elite by the very act of writing down 10 things you want on a piece of paper. Now, if all you did was to put that sheet of paper with your 10 goals away somewhere for a year, your whole life would be different. At the end of 12 months, when you opened up that sheet of paper, you'd be astonished to find that fully 80% of the 10 goals had been achieved in the most remarkable ways. In fact, you would probably see examples of synchronicity and serendipity behind the attainment of each of those goals. You would see a remarkable string of interconnected coincidences that no one could predict or plan for. But the bottom line is this: you will have accomplished 80% of your 10 goals in ways that you cannot now even imagine. The next exercise is for you to take that list of 10 goals and go through it, asking yourself, which one goal, if I accomplish it, would have the greatest positive impact on my life? Circle that goal and write it down on the top of another sheet of paper. This becomes your major definite purpose for the time being. Remember the law of purpose. A critical luck factor says that the secret of success is constancy of purpose. By writing down 10 goals, selecting your most important goal, and deciding upon that as your major definite purpose, you've now moved into the top 1% of Americans living today. Below your goal on that sheet of paper, write out every single action that you can possibly think of that you could do now or in the future to achieve that goal. This is a very important exercise. The more different things that you write down that you could think of to help you achieve your goal, the more you will begin to believe that it is possible for you. When you write down the goal for the first time, you may have a lot of hope, but you will probably be skeptical and even critical of your own ability to achieve it. But when you begin to write down all the different things that you could do starting today, you begin to see your goal in a whole new light. As you write down idea after idea that you could use to achieve your goal, you drive your goal deeper and deeper into your subconscious mind. You begin to believe that it's possible for you. As you begin to do different things on your list, you begin to expect that you will move toward your goal. You activate the law of attraction and begin attracting people and circumstances into your life that help you to achieve your goal. You begin to see examples of synchronicity in the events and circumstances that surround you. You feel more in control of your life. You activate your reticular cortex, and you develop an intense sensitivity and awareness to people and possibilities around you that can help you to achieve that objective. You feel more alert and aware and alive. You have more energy and focus. You're more clear and positive. And all it takes is a piece of paper and a few minutes of your time. There are many differences between winners and losers. The loser always hears a piece of advice and asks, "What if it doesn't work?" But that's the wrong question. The right question for you to ask is, "What if it does?" You see, if it doesn't work, all it costs you is a piece of paper. Of course, you would probably have to be an extremely determined negative person to stop this exercise from working in spite of yourself. However, the fact is that it does work, and it works faster than you could imagine. A financial advisor attended my seminar in Phoenix, Arizona, on a Saturday morning. He flew back to Houston that afternoon. The following Thursday, he phoned my office and spoke to my secretary. Then he wrote me a letter in some detail, which told what he had done after he had left the seminar. This is what happened to him. He said that he'd heard about goals many times before, but he had never thought about writing them down. He decided that as a result of my recommendation, he would write down 10 goals for the next 12 months, which he did. He said that by Sunday night at 7 o'clock, in less than 48 hours, he had already accomplished 5 of the 10 one-year goals he had set for himself, and these were both financial goals and family goals. So he quickly wrote out 5 more goals so that he had a new, complete list of 10 goals. By Thursday evening at 5 o'clock when he called my office 4 days later, he had already accomplished 5 more of his new list of 10 goals. In his letter, he wrote, "I can quite honestly say that I accomplished more in 6 days with clear written goals than I had honestly expected to accomplish in an entire year. I was simply amazed." In the final analysis, all of the process of goal setting boils down to the specific actions that you are going to take now, today, and every day to achieve your goals. Once you have your goals written out, there are a series of powerful mental techniques that you can use to accelerate your progress toward your goals and to move your goals more rapidly toward yourself. The law of accelerating acceleration is a key luck factor in this area. This says that whatever you are moving toward is moving toward you as well. Like attracts like. In a way, this is a sub-law or a corollary of the law of attraction, but with one important difference. As you begin to move toward your goal, you'll be frustrated at how slow it seems to be. And the bigger your goal, the further away it will seem. You will have to work at it a long time before you see any progress at all. But this is all part of the process of goal attainment. The 20-80 rule applies to the law of accelerating acceleration. It says that in the first 80% of the time that you are working toward your goal, you will only cover about 20% of the distance. However, if you keep on keeping on, you will accomplish the final 80% of your goal in the last 20% of the time that you spend working toward it. Many people work for weeks, months, and even years toward a big goal and see very little progress. They lose heart and give up. But what they didn't realize is that they had laid all of the groundwork necessary and were almost at the takeoff point where they would begin to move at an extraordinary speed toward their goal, and their goal would begin to move at an extraordinary speed toward them. The law of accelerating acceleration applies to almost every big goal that you set for yourself. Take your major goals and write them down in the form of personal, present tense, positive affirmations on a series of 3x5 index cards. This is an incredibly powerful exercise. Again, it's like jamming your foot onto the accelerator of your own life. For example, you could write, "I weigh 156 pounds on one card. I earn $50,000 per year on another card. I speak Spanish fluently and well on another." Whatever your goals are, write them down in large letters on 3x5 index cards and carry the cards around with you. Then, read and reread these goal cards each morning and each evening, when you get up and before you go to bed. As you read these goals, visualize and imagine the goal as if it were already attained. Get a clear mental picture of your goal as a reality. See it as vividly and as clearly as you possibly can. And here's the kicker. Combine the mental picture of your goal with the same feeling that you would expect to enjoy if your goal were already a reality. As you create a mental picture of that beautiful car you want to drive, create the feeling or emotion that you would enjoy of pride, happiness, satisfaction, pleasure as you drove away in that car. Many top salespeople have told me that the way they used this exercise was to visualize being the top salesperson for the company and winning the award at the National Sales Convention. They visualized and imagined themselves walking up onto the stage and receiving the award from the president. They heard the audience. They created the feeling of pride and satisfaction that they would enjoy when they attained that award. And over, these people became the top performers in their organizations. Another tremendous luck factor is contained in the principle of attention, or the law of concentration. The law of concentration states that whatever you dwell upon grows and increases in your world. The more you think about, talk about, visualize, and emotionalize a desired goal, the more of your mental capacity works to draw that goal toward you and to draw you toward that goal. The more clear you are about your goals, the more you write them and rewrite them, the more you plan them and work on them, the more you activate all of your mental powers. You create a force field of energy around yourself that causes wonderful things to happen to you. You attract amazing opportunities and possibilities that other people think of as luck. The fact that you are listening to this program means that you're already in the top 10%, perhaps the top 5% of people living today. You are among what has been called the talented tenth. You're a member of the elite. You're the kind of person who is constantly learning and growing. The very fact that you've come this far with this program means that you are in a special class almost all by yourself. You are in the winner's circle. And it doesn't matter where you are in life or how much you're earning today, all that matters is where you're going. The commitment that you are making to your life and to your future is the surest indicator of where you're going to be in a few years. If you just keep on keeping on in the same direction that you're going in now, you will accomplish extraordinary things and nothing can stop you. You will become known as one of the luckiest people in your personal world.